I'm glad you suffered that. I don't think they're going to be inviting me back anytime soon, but...
You made me sound good.
There you go. I don't know who I'm supposed to be following, so it doesn't matter. Trying to follow Jesus. All right, if you will open your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 28. I'll give you a couple minutes to find it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If you'll start at the beginning and head towards the end, sometime somewhere before Psalms, you should run into 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm going to be reading in verse 9. This is David giving an exhortation unto his son Solomon, and we pick it up in verse 9, and we're going to end in verse 9. He says, "And thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word of God. We're thankful that you're a great Savior. You're a God that knows all things. We're thankful for that you bestow upon us mercy and grace. For that we're grateful. We're thankful for the great salvation you give to us in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. We're thankful for the opportunity to meet in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray and ask that if any lost soul be in the sound of my voice, may they come to know you as their Savior. Lord, if brothers and sisters in Christ have been somewhat discouraged or backslidden, may they be revived and brought closer to you. And may all the saints of God be encouraged, and most of all, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in this book here, the Bible, what we call the Bible in Chronicles, where David the king is giving an exhortation or some counsel to his son. Let me say, this is not going to be the topic of my message this morning. This is just free. It's extra, no charge at all. You get it for free, and you get it at the beginning instead of the end. So the idea here is fathers should give their children counsel.
Yes.
And they should give them counsel that they've gained through knowledge of the Lord. And they should give counsel according to their own experiences. One of the things children don't understand is that mom and dad have experience that the child doesn't have. They know things that the child doesn't know. And you'll look here and you'll get some wisdom from David, who had some knowledge of God and had some experience with God. And notice he's not telling his son to seek after riches. He's not telling him to have a great career. He's advising him what kind of God there is. And he's telling him to seek him, to search for him, and serve him. He said, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." He's saying, "Know my God." You ought to know him. And you ought to teach your children to know your God. And the way to do that is spend time reading the scriptures with them.
Yes.
Start at an early age, you know, right when they come out the chute. Start that early. Start with them. Get them accustomed to hearing the word of God. Speak to them the word of God as you're going about your daily chores.
Amen.
Teach them the scriptures. It ought not to be just formal. It ought to be informal as well. You ought to be reading and teaching your children about your God. Because nobody else is going to do it.
Amen.
The school's not going to do it. The government's not going to do it. It's up to you to do it. You as the parents, you have that responsibility. And then we ought to teach our children to serve God. And how should we serve him? With a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now, all of you parents ought to teach your children to do chores. They ought to be given responsibilities, and they ought to learn to serve.
Yeah,
you need to teach them to serve. And that may take some discipline on your part and some consistency on your part. That is only the first step, though. to get your child to be obedient. That's only the first step. I can tell you from experience that we taught our children to take out the trash or wash the dishes or mop the floor or make their bed. That was a challenge in itself. All of those, to pick up their toys, to put their toys away. That was a big challenge, and we got them where they would take out the trash and they would stomp their feet and take the trash out to the trash can. Well, they accomplished something. They did what they were told. But the next step here is David giving Solomon wisdom. It's not enough to serve God. Lots of people serve God unwillingly. He says, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. So the next step after you teach your children to be obedient, you have to teach them to do it with the right attitude. Take that trash out with a smile on your face. Be happy about it. And you accomplish that, then you have accomplished something. But this is the advice that David, the king, is giving Solomon, his son. But I want you to notice, and this is going to be the topic of my message, that the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. And if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Do you know that our God knows our hearts? That ought to be a sobering thought. It is for me to realize that God knows our hearts. Do you know that I would be afraid to know, take a peek into your heart? You know why I'd be afraid to do that? Because I'm afraid to take a peek at my own heart. And I definitely wouldn't want that broadcast on any podcast, internet, TV station, or radio. Yeah. But this is a sobering thought, that God knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. And did you know that God is interested in what we're thinking?
Yes.
Did you ever think about that? This is one of the proofs that man has a will. Because God is interested in what man thinks. He's interested in what you think. What is your thought on the subject? Did you know God expects us to be reasonable? That he reasons with us? And this is the topic that I want to speak to you with this morning is, what thinkest thou? Or what are you thinking? Or what were you thinking? That's another way to say it. What were you thinking after you did something? Look over in Matthew in chapter 22. I'm going to show you by way of the scriptures a few points. The first one is, what thinkest thou? In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41, it says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Did you notice the Lord asked the Pharisees a question? He asked them specifically, what do you think? And he gives them a question. He gives them a series of things here, and he advised them, what do you think about Christ? And specifically, whose son is he? Now, I really don't want to go into the depths of the particular passage here. What I'm trying to point out is, Christ was interested in their opinion. He was interested in reasoning with them. Did you see that? He says, what do you think? He says, all right, whose son is he? Well, he's the son of David. Well, if he's the son of David, then why does David call him Lord? As if he was before David. And that reasoning, God provoking them to think, leads to a conclusion and a responsibility. Yeah? So God is interested in knowing what you're thinking. What is your thoughts on this subject? What think ye of Christ? If Christ is the son of David and David calls Christ the Lord, doesn't that have some conclusions? Doesn't that tell us something?
Amen.
Yeah, it sure does. It tells us something. He is the I am. Before David, he was and is and will be. He's the Christ. Look over in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 25. So Peter just answered a question, does your master pay tribute? He saith yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. In other words, he didn't allow him to say anything. Before he got a chance to say something, Jesus says, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Amen. Did you notice that? He's asking Simon Peter, what do you think? What do you think about this? Simon ends up answering, well, of strangers. Then Jesus said, then the children are free. There's a lot of thought on that. This was a doctrinal teaching of Christ. But I'm not going to go into that. What I'm trying to point out here is he was interested in what Peter thought.
Yes.
He's interested in what you think.
Amen.
Have you reasoned through? Have you considered these things? Have you considered the conclusion of your thoughts? And that brings responsibility. Yeah? Let me give you one more. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12. He phrases it a different way. I like the way the old English has it. How think ye? How you thinking? If a man have 100 sheep, this is sort of a rhetorical question. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? What do you think? If you got 100 sheep and you lose one, do you go out and you just forget about it, or do you go out and look for it? You got 100 sheep all corralled and one gets out, what happens? All your neighbors are calling, hey, you got a sheep out. You got to go get him. Yeah? Isn't that right? He says, how you thinking on that subject? God is interested in your thoughts.
Amen.
God searches your heart to see how you're thinking. Because the way you think will have an influence on your actions. Have you considered that? So God wants to know your thoughts. And David tells Solomon, the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. And then he says, if you seek him, you'll find him. But if you're not thinking about him, you're not going to be seeking him. So what thinkest thou? In the Psalms, the Lord knoweth, it says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. So God peeks into our heart and he sees what we're thinking. And you know what he's seeing?
Vanity.
What? And then we would say it as we would say to our children after they'd done something crazy. We say, what were you thinking when you did this? Yeah? How did you come to the conclusion that this would be okay? Yeah? You come into the house and the children have painted each other's face with mama's mascara. And you're thinking, what were you thinking? Or worse, you come into the house and they painted the wall. And you're saying, what in the world were you thinking? And are there not consequences, that type of thinking? What was running through your mind is another way we might say it. What was running through your mind? God says he knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. In the Old Testament, it tells us in the very beginning, the book of Genesis, that God looked down upon men, and he says God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let me remind you of the phrase that I said. I think it's very powerful. It is sobering. God knows what we are thinking. Do you think it behooves us to consider what we think? Do you think it might behoove us to be careful of what we're putting into our minds that provoke us to think? That's why I would encourage you to read the scriptures with your children. I would encourage you to read the Bible yourself. I would encourage you to come where the Word of God is preached. I would encourage you to get around some good thinking people.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Look in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And behold, they brought to him, brought to Jesus, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, in other words, they didn't say it out loud, they were just thinking it, they were talking to themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, listen to what it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Wow. Do you know Jesus knows your thoughts? Even when you're talking to yourself? When you're plotting and scheming and considering and planning, Jesus knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts right now. What are you thinking? Would you be thinking about the message this morning, or would you be thinking about the basketball score in the afternoon? Would you be thinking about the message this morning, or would you be thinking about what you have to do in your garden, your yard, your home, your car, your grocery shopping, what you're going to eat? I mean, we're always thinking, right? Well, it's probably not true all the time, because sometimes we just don't think. At least not reasonably. But he says, "Why? Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking evil?" And there's another passage in the scripture talking about how we judge people. We judge people incorrectly because we think incorrectly. Right. We weren't thinking. We weren't thinking about the ramifications or considered the results or the end of the matter, because we didn't think it through. In Deuteronomy chapter 15:9, God says, "Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee." So they had these years of jubilee, they had these years that they were set free, so a person could be a bondservant, they would sell themselves in it, but for the Jew, there was a time when they were to be set free, and they calculated out by 7 years, and when it 7 years came, they were to be set free, and somebody was calculating, and they figured out a scheme they could get around it. And God says, "I know your thoughts, and beware that you don't think that way." Isn't that just like us? We plot and we scheme, not out loud, we consider it in our hearts, we think about it. How can I serve God where it doesn't cost me?
Amen.
I can tell how this works. You got in your mind that you ought to give 10%. And in your evil mind, in your evil heart, you think, not a cent more. How do I know this? Because I've done the books. And we'll get checks that says $100.94. Now, you just don't write out a check for $100.94 unless you're doing some calculations. It looks to me like somebody put some calculations on there and said, "I'm going to give a certain percent." They calculated that, and instead of rounding it off to 101, they went down to the very cent and said, "No, I'm going to give 194 cents. I haven't written a check in a long time. When we were in Poland, they didn't do checks. You just give you your account number and you transfer on the phone. Writing out a check, $100.94, I'm thinking, why bother? Let's round this off. But it does show something of our hearts. We got in our head, what is it that I can do for God that won't cost me a cent more? What can I do for God that won't cost me any extra effort? And God says, beware of that kind of thinking.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Did you know we have a history in the Bible of people that weren't thinking straight?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a few examples. This is going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 and then we'll go back and talk about it. This is Rechab and Baanah. And then David talking about the Amalekite. Here we pick it up. And for when they came into the house and he lay in his bed, in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David and to Hebron and said to the king, behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, and the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, as the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more than wicked men has slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require this blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? So what's going on? Two stories here. One, when David was ascending to the throne and Saul was killed, there came to him an Amalekite. And the Amalekite tells this story that he saw that Saul cried out to him having been wounded in battle and said, listen, I'm suffering. I don't want to suffer anymore. Come over, take the sword and slay me. And the Amalekite was thinking, this would be a thinking, not correctly, thinking, he would go over and slay Saul and then go to David and tell him, I've got rid of your enemy. Well, he wasn't thinking straight because David wasn't happy about it. And David said, what are you doing raising the hand against the Lord's anointed? And he had the Amalekite killed. Have you ever done something you thought this is going to be a great idea?
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out to be a great idea? Well, Rechab and Baanah, they thought it'd be a great idea to slay Saul's seed. And they went in and took his head. And can you imagine? They went through the plain all night carrying that guy's head. And then they had this thought that when we bring this head to David, he's going to be excited. Yeah, David was excited, all right. He was angered and had them slain. But the point is, they weren't thinking straight. They didn't think it through. They did not stand still and know that God is God. They didn't ponder the consequences. They didn't consider the history. They didn't consider what David would really think. Do you want another one? In the New Testament, Simon the sorcerer. In 8:20, he goes to Peter and he says, hey, I see you got some power. I got some money here. Let me give you some of this money and then you give me the power to do what you're doing. And Peter responds, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Did you know that you can sin by thinking incorrectly? Now, most of us, we consider sin as an action, something that we do. It can be seen, it can be experienced. But sin starts in the heart.
Amen.
And sin can be completed in the heart. And we know that to be true because in the scriptures it tells us if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery, even though physically you haven't, you've committed adultery in your heart with that woman. And we also know it's true because you may have not, never murdered anybody, but he says if you have hatred in your heart toward your brother, you're a murderer. I wonder if God considers our thoughts and intents as we're driving. I wonder if God considers our thoughts and intents when we're working. Did you know it's not good enough just to pray? That if you pray in order to seek the praise of men, God knows that, and you have your reward. Do you think that God is intending us to take out the trash with a smile on our face?
Amen.
Do you think that God's intent was to move us forward not only to be obedient, but to be obedient with a willing mind, as David counseled Solomon? Would you agree with my reasoning? I'm trying to get you to what? Think. You think that would be a reasonable conclusion, that God is trying to get us not only to serve Him, but to serve Him with a willing mind?
Amen.
To having thought about it and think about it and then do it?
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen.
Good. We're having a Bible study on Monday night, and basically we're going over some basic doctrines of the church, and I intended to have some of the younger believers come, but it's turned to find out we have some of the older believers too, which is fine. I'm happy. So after doing several studies that were really geared toward younger believers, I thought, all right, we'll just crank it up a notch and we'll get it. And they were not prepared to think, because previously it was just, you know, sort of review, and then we're going, and I started asking questions last week, and they're all going, oh, my head. Sometimes we don't want to think, do we?
Right.
We just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I don't want to think about it. Here's another example in the book of Esther, chapter 6. You remember Haman and Mordecai? They didn't get along. So Haman came into the king, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth honor?" And Haman thought in his heart, "To whom will the king delight to honor more than myself?" Do you know we have some problems that we think too much of ourselves? Yeah?
Amen.
Some of you elderly students, I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about length of time in the Lord. Some of you students that have been with the Lord and studied the Bible, how'd that turn out for Haman? So he thought, I got a great idea. You know what would be good, since you're thinking about me? What would really be good is give him some royal apparel, put him on the horse, parade him through the town, and tell everybody how great he is. The king says, "Good idea. Go get Mordecai." I love that story. Can you imagine? As he's leading Mordecai around, now you got to understand, they were enemies. Haman did not like Mordecai, and he's parading around telling what a great fellow he is. Can you imagine what he was doing? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? Yeah? We regret our thoughts. We smack ourselves in the head and we think, "What was I thinking? Or why didn't I think? I should have thought this through." Well, Haman didn't do that. How about Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" Now, Naaman was a leper, and so he goes to Elijah and thinking that surely he was told by his servant girl that I should go to Elijah. So he goes to Elijah, and he's a great prophet, and he thought, this is how it's going to be. Our problems that we have with our thought process are revealed in the actions taken by men and women in history and are recorded in the scriptures. We think, number one, too much about ourselves. We think vain thoughts. We don't think correctly. We don't think about God. We think about ourselves, and we think how God ought to do it. Isn't that what's going on here? This is the way I think. I think it should be done this way. And Elijah really wasn't concerned how he thought. How about this one? Eli, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. How many of us have been mistaken in our thoughts towards another? I know why you did that. You did that on purpose. Yeah?
Right.
Do you see him? I know he's doing wrong. He's up to no good. You know, there's something in the Bible about judging righteous judgment. And not making false assumptions. And there's one thing in about the Bible about judging. He doesn't tell you don't judge. He says be careful how you judge. Because in the manner and the way that you judge, you're going to be judged.
Right.
And if you judge without mercy, you're going to be judged without mercy. What were you thinking? Or how thinkest thou? Couple of verses on this thought. In Proverbs chapter 23, he says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now, if you read the context of this in Proverbs chapter 23, he's talking about the ruler. And the ruler has an evil eye. And he's going to pretend to be something that he ain't. In order to persuade you, he's going to give you food. Free food. And free drink. And free tickets. And free places to stay. Right? Free. Give it to me. Free. But he's not thinking about your welfare. He's thinking about his position and power. You know where that goes on today? Have you ever seen that today? Politicians telling you, eat for free, drink for free, it's on me. You know it ain't, but it's on me.
Find it.
And all of the last 35 presidents. And congresses. Be careful, because people have an evil eye and their actions don't always betray what they're thinking. And they will deceive you outwardly, but they have other thoughts. Isn't that what he's saying? Paul said it this way, for if man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
Did you know you can think yourself pretty good?
Yeah.
I mean, in your mind, you're wearing a crown and you're somebody and oh, you're really thinking, but reality is different.
Yeah, amen.
And Paul, he sums it up very clearly. Directly, he says, if you think you're something when you're nothing, you're deceiving yourself. In Psalms chapter 10, it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Yeah, if you don't think about God, you're probably not going to seek after him.
Right.
You ought to consider what your subject matter is that you're going to think about. Have you thought about that? Yeah. You say, I can't find God. Have you been thinking about him? Have you thought about where he might be? Have you thought about how you might find him? David's counsel to his son was, seek him with a perfect heart.
Amen.
And a willing mind. Brother Lindell read this verse, so I'll just restate it briefly. In John 16, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service.
Yeah.
Isn't that some warped thinking?
Amen.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your head off and I'm going to put it on a charger and I'm going to take it to you. Isn't that warped thinking? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to crucify my enemies. I know what I'll do. I'm going to stone you. I'm going to put you in a pit and I'm going to stone you. And this is all for the glory of God. Isn't that warped thinking? Whole religion's built on that idea. Kill the enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy. How about that? They think they're going to do service by killing. How do you treat, though, now you would never kill anybody, right? Be careful how you think. You'd never kill anybody, but boy, your tongue will cut them up in one side or the other. Because they don't agree with you, or they have a different opinion on religion, or they wear a different garb. They think they do God service by killing. How should we think? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What would be the intent of my message this morning? It would be to get you to think soberly.
Amen.
To get you to think in accordance with the will of God. To get you to think in such a way that you will seek God with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Talking about charity or love in the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, talking about charity. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. How many marriages would be saved if the husband and wife did not think evil?
Amen.
I know why you burned them potatoes. I know. You're mad at me. No, the potatoes got burned because the dog got out the door and I went after the dog, and by the time I got back, the potatoes were burned. Didn't have anything to do with being mad at you. You did that just to make me mad. Thinketh no evil.
Yeah, amen.
You know that preacher? I know why he said that. I know it. Thinketh no evil. I think I might be meddling right now, so.
Yeah, amen.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul writes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, brother, what should I think about? I just gave you a list. Here it is written in the Bible, a whole list of things for you to think about. Yeah? Not vain things. Not evil things, not murder, not adultery, not wickedness, not vanity. How about thinking on these things?
Amen.
Not yourself. Think on things that are lovely, that are of a good report, that are honest, that are true, that are pure. How about thinking on those things?
Amen.
You think on all the other things. Why don't you think about these things? There's only so much in a day that you can think about things. Why don't you put the priority on the things that God wants you to think about?
Amen.
That would be reasonable, wouldn't it? I'm trying to get you to think. Let the wicked forsake his way, saith the Lord Almighty. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We need to stop trying to put words in God's mouth because we think we have a better idea. He says maybe you ought to just forsake your thoughts. Give up your plans, your ideas, your imaginations. Forsake those and conform to the thoughts of God. Isn't that what he's saying? God says, I hate vain thoughts. The psalmist said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. How about that for a will? He's saying to himself, somewhat like Paul did in Romans chapter 7, he says, Lord, when I look inside here, it ain't going too well.
Right.
And I hate that. I hate that. Lord, I've made a conscious decision that I love your law. I hate vain thoughts. Help me. Forsake your own thoughts. Hate vain thoughts. Learn to love the law of God. And David said to Solomon, with a willing mind. Did you know that in service of God it takes a willing mind? Did you know that love is not simply an emotion? It is a decision that you make.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Love is not simply an emotion. It is a decision that you make.
Amen.
How many divorces ended in this way? I don't love him anymore. Why not? Why don't you love him anymore? You don't want to. You think you don't have to. God said, love your wife even as yourself. Love your wife even as Christ loved the church. How about that for a command? God said, love your enemy. I just don't have an emotional attachment to that fellow. God wasn't asking you to have an emotional attachment with that fellow. God was saying, love him even though he's your enemy. That takes some thought. It's a decision process in the mind and heart. What thinkest thou? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. How about that for advice? Why don't you make a conscious commitment this morning that you say, I am going to commit my life to God and to his will? That would be good thinking.
Amen.
Start thinking on that. How can I commit my works unto the Lord? How can I commit my life to the Lord so that my thoughts may be established? I understand that he knows my hearts. He knows my thoughts, that he sees that they're vanity. I know that's not going to please him. I have reasoned this through. I know that's not a good idea. How can I have good thoughts? I'm going to start by committing myself to thinking the things of God. Wouldn't that be reasonable?
Amen.
Is this beyond reason? Is God demanding something of us that's not reasonable? Is he demanding something of us that we could not accomplish? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you want to see how you're doing in your service to God? Open up the Bible.
Amen.
Many of us don't open the Bible because it knows what we're thinking.
Amen.
It knows our intentions. And we had plotted in such a way in our mind's eye, we thought that what we're doing is doing God's service. And what we were doing was killing the will of God. That's probably not phrased correctly, but killing the intent of God, killing the plan of God. Disobeying God would be a better way to phrase it. So he says, the word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forsake your way, brethren. Change your mind. The biblical word would be repent. We all need to repent.
Amen.
And as Brother Lindell said this morning, in so many words, we need to repent daily. We need to repent moment by moment. Because our thoughts are fleeting. They're always going back and forth. And it's chaos in there sometimes. And he says, stand still and know that I'm God. Stop and think a moment before you do something. Isn't that the wisdom of God? Isn't that what God is telling us? Think it through. Isn't that what Jesus is asking? What do you think about this? Do you think it's a good idea to read your Bible? Do you think it's a good idea to invest in the kingdom of God? What do you think? Do you think it's important in God's eyes, the church and building up of the church? Do you think evangelism is important? What do you think? Do you think missions is important? What do you think? Do you think the name of Christ is important? What do you think? What do you think? God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the counsel from David to his son, seek him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And there will be results of that. There will be consequences. If you do that, you'll find him. If you forsake that, you yourself will be cast off. Sobering. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a great God, and we tremble and fear knowing that you know our thoughts and the intents of our heart. Lord, we know that our thoughts are vain, and Lord, we deceive ourselves, and we're so proud, and we acknowledge it. We ask you to help us overcome it. Help us to commit our works unto you so that our thoughts may be established. Have mercy upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord